بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Once Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was leaving South Africa, many senior ulama kiram were present, and they asked him for some type of parting advice. It must be comprehensive and it must be lasting. So it must cover up all or most problems, and it must be a piece of advice that is enduring and that is lasting. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah read this piece of advice, Shihabuddin Sohrawardi Rahmatullah Alayhi, the Sheikh of Muslihuddin Shirazi, known as Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullah Alayhi. So Muslihuddin Shirazi is the student and Shihabuddin Sohrawardi is his Sheikh. Both were travelling on a boat, and this was the advice that was given. Yaki aake barkhud, the first advice, that don't look at yourself with respect. And number two is don't look at others with suspect. Easy to remember. Don't look at yourself with respect. And number two, don't look at others with suspect. It should be the other way around. So look at yourself with suspect and look at others with respect. It's a very, very short piece of advice, but it is enduring, it is lasting, and over and above all, it is a comprehensive piece of advice. Generally, the problems that we are confronted with is because we look with suspect in people. We look into people with suspect. So a person comes out of his house, then he doesn't feel the type of clarity and the type of happiness that he needs to. He's got a suspicion, a doubt about every second, third person. This person is like this, and that person is like that. And the third person, he's against me and he's making some conspiracy against me. You come home, you don't feel very good about your wife because you feel that she's not giving you the type of attention that you deserve. You look at your children and you feel that they're not the obedient type of children that one would desire. Then everybody is a problem. Your child is a problem, your wife is a problem, your friends are problems, neighbors are problems. So everybody is being looked at with suspect. In Nizamuddin Markaz, Mulana Suleiman Marhum Maghfoor, he would give some advice after Isha Namaz. And some of those advice used to be standard right throughout the year. One advice he would give is that when you come to this type of a place, that is the Markaz, then you should join in the collective amal, in the actions that are done collectively, then join in. And he would then quote Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that the one that comes here and doesn't join in the collective amal, collective actions and works, he must consider himself not coming here in the first place. Yadullahi al-jama'ah, when a work is taking place and is taking place collectively, then the special hand of Allah Ta'ala is on that jama'at, on that group. Allah Ta'ala likes that work that is done collectively. All brothers are together, they are working, they are cooperating, they show the type of affection for each other and regards for each other. So Allah Ta'ala's hand is on that group. Allah Ta'ala's protection, He is supportive of that group. So this was the one piece of advice. The second piece of advice that he gives is Iman ki aur saman ki hifazat kare. It's more as Suleiman Janji, Rahmatullah Alayh. Guard your Iman and guard your own possession. For the protection of your Iman after your Farz namaz, make dua that Allah Ta'ala keeps you upon the Sunnah and upon Iman till your last breath. Till your last breath, make dua that Allah Ta'ala keeps you upon Iman, make shukr for that Iman. When you make shukr, then Allah Ta'ala increases that favor. The greatest favor that we enjoy is Iman. And you are being thankful about Iman, so Allah Ta'ala will allow you to enjoy the Iman right till your last breath and remain steadfast upon the Sunnah. And this second piece of advice, Iman ki aur saman ki ifad kare. You would say that when you come to a collective gathering, then there are all types of people, right? All types of people. One is a beginner, one is a little bit progressed, one is somewhere in the center. So you get people of all type of backgrounds, all classes. You won't get all at the same level. You'll get people of different classes, different temperaments, different ways, different backgrounds. So you'll have all. In this whole equation, what am I required to do? Now the important thing is, what am I required to do? Not what is he doing, what's he doing and how's he behaving himself, how he's conducting himself. But the more important question is, what am I supposed to be doing in this whole equation, in this whole group, what am I supposed to be doing? So he's likened this with a human being. When he walks into a nice, beautiful orchard, then he will see how he can enjoy from the orchard. The fruit trees, the pear tree, the mango tree, the orange tree, whatever tree is around, then he will see what he can select, what he can enjoy from. But to the contrary, if it is a swine that walks into an orchard, a beautiful orchard, then it's not going to look for those beautiful fruit. It's going to look for the sewage and the dirt around. What's dirt here? There is some dung here, there is some dirt there, there is some filth there. It will look for that. So a man must be of that temperament and that outlook, that when I'm getting into a gathering, then I must feel it's an orchard. Alhamdulillah, someone is a rose plant, someone is a fruit plant, someone got a different fragrance, someone got another fragrance. So how can I enjoy from them? One person is making dua and he's crying, so I need to take a lesson from that. The other person I see is committed to his zikr, so I need to learn from that person. And that person I see, he doesn't engage in things that do not concern him. How can I learn from him? That person, he's got a good control over his anger. He doesn't allow the anger to rule his life. He doesn't lose himself. So I need to learn that from him. This person here, he's very, very careful as with regards to the use of his tongue. Then this is something for me to learn. This person is very prim and proper in his program. When he makes up an itinerary for himself, then he is very committed to that program. He doesn't go off that program. This person is committed to the recitation of the Quran Sharif. That person is very, very cautious. He doesn't hurt anybody physically, verbally, mentally, whichever way, but he doesn't hurt anybody. So I see these good qualities in these people here. Then I must learn from him. I must acquire this for a short period, a short duration, very, very short period. And in this short period, this small little time, how much I can take the benefit, how much benefit I can take to the maximum. So this is the advice that Suleiman Janji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to give daily, on a daily basis, in Nizamuddin after Isha Salah. And really, if you look at it, that in this short earthly life, one is, the i'tikaf is a short duration, a short living here. And life is also very short. In this little short duration, little short while, what we need to see is how much we can take. We need to take some baggage. mean, you take something with us on this journey. وَشَيْءٌ مِنَ الدُّلْجَةِ سَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا. Take something. Allah Pak is offering it, making all the offers to us. Take something. Take this. Like that mother whose son is going out on a journey. So the mother is saying, you may need this, take this as well. With loving affection, she is asking you, take this also. So Allah Ta'ala has made all those opportunities available for us. The opportunity for zikr is made available. The opportunity for roza is made available. The opportunity for reciting Quran Sharif, he made it available. For namaz, for tahajjud, whatever, he's made all those opportunities available for us. The malaika, as great as they are not free to engage in any ibadat of their choice. They can't, if they want, recite the Quran Sharif freely and easily as we recite. They can't do it. When they are moving around and they see someone reciting the Quran Sharif, then they tell each other, see, there is someone reciting the Quran Sharif. Come, listen to this person. He's reciting the Quran Sharif. They feel so elated. They feel so great. They feel so cheered up, so excited about the person that's reciting Quran Sharif, that they throng to listen to that person's recitation of the Quran Sharif. So the malaika, as great as they are, they don't have these opportunities. We have these opportunities. Early part of the morning, Allah Ta'ala Himself comes down to the earthly sky and He asks, is there anybody asking, begging for any favor? He's sinned in the wrong. He's got a baggage of wrong. But is there anybody that is asking for my favor? Allah Ta'ala is saying, right, come, take. Take whatever you want. You want rosy, I'll give it to you. You've got a problem, come and ask of me, beg of me, and I will bestow that to you. One person came to Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh and he complained that my child cries a lot. So make dua for the child. Night he cries. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah's answer was that in the olden times, people used to get up in the last part of the morning and they would cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all their needs. For their forgiveness, for their jannat, for their maut, for their akhirat, and for their well-being in this world, they would cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, you don't get that class of people who cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the latter part of the night. But now some tears need to reach Allah ta'ala. You aren't doing it, the child is doing it. You aren't doing it, so the child is doing it. That tears need to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do that tears. That tear is very, very precious. That last part of the morning. And Allah ta'ala Himself comes to the last, that is the earthly sky, and He's asking us, take something. So what we need to do is close our eyes from the weaknesses of people. Living together in this way, sometimes it may happen that something may go against our temperament. Some person has behaved or said something or did something that is against our temperament. So here we need to exercise a little bit of patience. But by the same token, we don't hurt anybody. Not physically, not verbally, not mentally, in any way. In any way, we don't hurt anybody. Our person is reciting Quran Sharif here, for example, and he's enjoying himself. He is communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone is in zikr, someone is making dua in some early part of the morning. So don't go and sit next to him. Don't sit next to him immediately. You're going to sit immediately next to him, now that privacy of his will be invaded. He was communicating with Allah Ta'ala, talking to Allah Ta'ala, begging of Allah Ta'ala's favors. Now you came and sat right next to him. Although you didn't hurt him physically, you didn't hurt him verbally, but mentally he's under some stress now. Now he can't speak so freely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he was speaking or he wanted to speak. So in this way we train ourselves, alright, if I'm going to say this, if I'm going to do this, is he going to feel mentally traumatized? Is he going to feel any tension? Is he going to feel any type of stress upon himself? Or will he feel better that I'm sitting next to him? So when we train ourselves like this in this short period, when we have to return, then we return as better people. We are considerate towards people, and Allah Ta'ala likes this. Therefore the hadith says, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadi. What's a true mu'min? Who is a true believer? A true believer is one who doesn't hurt anybody, it doesn't agonize anybody, it doesn't traumatize anybody. Now, these are the words that we come across nowadays, but Rasulullah is saying that the true Muslim is that person. He doesn't traumatize, he doesn't agonize, he doesn't cause any pain to anybody, whether it's verbal, whether it's in any way. But it doesn't have to be only verbal, in any way, but we don't hurt. And how we learn that, how we learn to train ourselves, is a little bit of reflection. If I am going to speak to someone like this, if he spoke to me in this manner, will I feel hurt? I am going to use myself in this manner. If someone uses himself upon me, will I feel hurt? So, when we're going to reflect a little bit, we'll find ways how to interact with people. That we learn that this whole world, we can transform it, change it into a jannat. Bahish, aaja bashad, ke kase ra ba kase aazare na bashad. What is jannat? Jannat is that place, it's that plane where no person will hurt anybody. You will not hurt anybody. You will not agonize anybody. You will have no need with the next person. No need and no dependency on the other person. No person is hurting anybody, the next. So that person then becomes like Jannat. Though this world is not Jannat, but it becomes like the atmosphere of Jannat. No pain, no hurt, no type of abuse, whichever type of abuse, but you don't find any type of abuse. It's just simple, enjoyable living. Simple, enjoyable living. So we need to now learn this, we need to discipline ourselves and train ourselves in this period, how to make this world and how to make our lives like Jannat. Whether it's our wives tomorrow, or our children, or our friends, our neighbors, but we need to learn these things here. If someone at some odd part of the night and he's hooting, some odd part of the night or he's hooting, obviously they are neighbors, you are calling your friend, alright. But now that neighbor, he is being disturbed, his sleep is being disturbed. Perhaps for him to regain his sleep, it may take another 2 hours. Or maybe he lost his sleep completely. Now how is he going to perform the following day? Now you are calling your friend, now you think, now how do I call him without disturbing the next person, without disturbing the neighbors that are on the either side. So in this way, when we train ourselves, we are not a nuisance for anybody. We are a joy, a bunch of enjoyment we are. Wherever we go, we are enjoyment. In the business, we are enjoying. People are looking forward to us. At home, people are looking forward to us. In the circle of friends, people enjoy our company. But how this happens with a little bit of reflection, a little bit of thinking, a little bit of thought process. How do I conduct myself? How do I use myself? In every circumstance, every situation, how do I use myself? Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Ta'ala commences the reckoning, the scales and the reckonings commence, and our deeds are presented before Allah Ta'ala, then no person's deeds will be equivalent and will be equal to the grandeur and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Grandeur, greatness of Allah Ta'ala is too much. You can't even, it's beyond our imagination, so great. So nobody's actions, nobody's deed can't perform one rakat that is in proportion to the grandeur, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can't do it. But then Allah Ta'ala will see your tolerance levels, your withstanding. Alright, that person, he hurt you, you overlooked. That person, he abused, you've forgiven him. That person, he made a false accusation, you had forgotten about it, you had wiped it off. That person had sworn you, and then you had forgotten that, you had wiped it off your records. You didn't even tell him anything. So, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you and grant you Jannat on behalf of this. In lieu of this, is forgiveness, overlooking, tolerance, withstanding, and forgetting the wrong that your brother has done to you. So, with regards to their treatment to ourselves, then we forget it, we forgive them. And as though it's a story that has been forgotten no more in our records, we have forgotten them. But our treatment with people, we are quite particular, we are quite thorough, that my treatment with people is thorough, is proper, and I adopt all the type of precautionary measure that I am required to. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Naseeb.